welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Coming up in this hour, true crime stories from the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Over the course of two programs, later on we hear This Is Your FBI, but right now, the FBI in Peace and War. The program was created in 1945 with the approval of FBI Chief J. Edgar Hoover in an effort to not only entertain, but to also bring to light the rampant crime epidemic in America as the Second World War was coming to a close. At the time of this next broadcast, the program had been on CBS Radio for 11 years and drawing just better than 4 million listeners a week Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock. This episode from February 23, 1955, called Specialty Act.
The FBI in Peace and War. The FBI in Peace and War is brought to you by healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint every day as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor freshens your mouth and sweetens your breath. The pleasant chewing eases tension, helps you feel better, and get more enjoyment out of what you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, Specialty Act.
Okay, Frank, keep the motor running. Mitch, Jerry, get him out of here.
Let's go, you.
Where?
Never mind where. Jerry, go on, get out.
What? What are you going to do with me?
You'll find out. Go on ahead there with Jerry. I'll be right behind you.
Now listen, whatever this is, somebody's making a mistake.
Mr. Wade, don't make mistakes.
Wade, you got this wrong, I tell you, please. You got to give me a break.
A break is just what I'm going to give you. Start walking up the road. Jerry.
No.
No, stop. Don't do it.
October 8th of last year, Police Sergeant Thomas Hannigan of Bay City was called to the scene of an alleged hit-and-run death on the outskirts of that community. There he found the body of a middle-aged man with nothing on his person that could help identify him. A careful survey of the area failed to reveal any of the usual physical evidence. There were no skid marks, no glass, not a bolt or a flake of paint. Nothing that could be connected with the accident could be seen by the naked eye. In routine fashion, the deceased man's fingerprints were forwarded to the Bureau for possible identification. When our lab check established that the man was a long-wanted federal fugitive named Hal Vincent, we automatically came into the case.
Club 15, Mr. Mitchell speaking.
Hello, Mitch. This is Only Dallas. Is Wade there? I gotta talk to him quick. It's important.
Well, Wade is watching rehearsal of the new show, honey. I don't know.
Never mind rehearsal. Put him on.
Okay. Mr. Wade, it's for you, honey. Dallas.
Okay. All right, girls, that's fine. 875, huh?
Okay, girls, take five.
Honey, what do you want? I'm busy.
Listen, Wade, we hit trouble, but plenty. That certain party we took care of was wanted by the Federals.
You're crazy.
Wait, I'm telling you, it'll be in the papers and...
Shut up, you fool. Let me think. Whose car did you use that night?
I don't know, Wade. One of the girls, I think.
Well, find out. And as soon as you find out, meet me back here in the office. And Arnie.
Yeah?
Keep your big mouth shut. We've been up against the FBI before. Those Boy Scouts don't bother me.
The morning following the death of Hal Vincent, his body was sent to a local mortuary with police instructions that the deceased's clothing be kept intact for Keith Sutter, our laboratory specialist. Sutter told us to look for a 1953 Oldsmobile, color Jordan gray. It would have a large dent in the front of the hood and a smaller dent in the middle. The victim had been hit in the legs with his body thrown upward onto the car. Sutter told us the driver must have known he hit Vincent. The only thing he didn't tell us was the name of the driver and the owner of the car.
Hello. I'm supposed to see Mr. Wade. My name's Patricia Payton.
Payton?
Yeah, I, that's in the chorus.
Oh, Paddy Payton, sure. Mr. Wade's expecting to see you. Wait there. I'll tell him you're here.
So she's here. Now, look, we'll let her get nervous for a few minutes, and then... Arnie, for the love of Mike, will you stop shaking?
Let me alone, Wade. I'm worried.
I told you, Arnie, I don't like worriers. Mitch, are you sure this is the doll we want?
Absolutely sure.
Patty Payton. She's the cute blondie, second from the left, second row.
That's right.
Has he used her car without her knowing it?
Yes, while she was on. I think it's her boyfriend's car. He lets her use it to come to work in.
Uh-huh. Mitch, what about this girl?
Nothing. Dumb little chorus girl, likes to dance.
Ambitious, huh?
And that's what I heard.
She have any idea how those bumps got on the car?
No. Jerry asked the questions real careful.
Oh, we're not taking any chances. Just in case. We got to feel sure of this doll.
That may not be easy. Jerry says she's not only dumb, she's honest.
Don't worry. I know how to handle that kind, especially if they're ambitious.
Yeah, boss?
Yeah, I'm offering Miss Patty Payton a feature spot in the show.
What?
I've been watching that kid. She's got style. I like the way she dances. How would she like her own specialty act?
Say, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I guess I got it in the head department, right, Mitch?
Well, a doll that's grateful is nice to have on your side.
Right.
Only supposing...
Supposing. You take a dumb stepper out of the line and make her a queen. Maybe she's asked some questions by some federal wise guy. Maybe she's not. What's she gonna do?
Keep her mouth shut.
Okay, Mitch. Go tell Miss Patty Payton to come in. We want to congratulate her on her specialty act.
Back to Specialty Act in just a moment. You know, friends, one reason you'll enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is that it helps keep your mouth feeling so fresh and clean. The lively, full-bodied flavor of Wrigley's Spearmint is really cooling and refreshing. Besides, the chewing itself gives you comfort because it helps keep your mouth and throat pleasingly moist. Helps keep your teeth clean and bright, too. Try it and see for yourself. Chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum while you work, while driving your car, out walking, and in your home. See how this delicious chewing gum helps keep your mouth feeling fresh, cool, and clean. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get some next time you go to the store. Of tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, Specialty Act.
Immediately after hearing from our laboratory specialist, we sent out flyers to all body and paint stores within a 100-mile radius in the Bay Area. An all-points bulletin went out describing the car and the dents. Then five special agents began their interview of every Oldsmobile dealer within the area described. They furnished us a list of all 1953 cars that color that had been sold. That gave us some 45,000 cars to look for. And our lab specialist gave us specific briefing on that.
And these are the bits of paint located on the dead man's suit. You can see them clearly enough under the microscope there.
Yeah, gray, all right.
Jordan gray. How'd you check that, Keith? Manufacturer's paint charts?
Yeah, that's right. Flakes matched exactly with the chart of the 53 Olds. Now, come over this way. I'll show you something else. This is a reconstruction of how the killing must have happened, scaled down to model size, of course.
I see. At least I think I do.
Well, it's really much simpler than it appears. If you're familiar with the way bodies fall when they're struck, then you know that this one must have been thrown in the air like this, landing on the hood here. With the shoulder hitting first and making a large dent.
Shoulder?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And a split second later, the head making the smaller dent here. And completing the murder picture.
You keep saying murder, Keith. And knowing you, I don't imagine that's pure guesswork.
Well, no, it isn't, Steve. The tears in the pants are most revealing of all. Hal Vincent was running fast, away from the car. Caught him finally at the back of his knees. Really violent impact. The act was intended, Steve. But if you'd like further proof...
No, thanks, Keith. I'm convinced. You've done your part. I think the rest is up to us.
Find the car, huh?
That's the idea. Find the car and the person who drives it.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're very kind. In appreciation, I'd next like to give my impression of Mr. Fred Astaire dancing Irving Berlin's memorable hit...
Cheek to Cheek.
Irving Berlin's memorable hit, Cheek to Cheek.
Bravo! Bravo!
You think I'll be all right, Bill?
All right. You'll knock them right on their ear.
Oh, honest, Bill. You really think they'll like me?
With your talent and looks, and with Mr. Wade behind you? Why, this is only step one. First, a specialty act and a Hollywood offer.
Oh, a specialty act's all the offer I want.
Nonsense. And now the Academy Award for the Best Female Dancer of the Year, Miss Patti Payton.
Oh, Billy. It's not a dream, is it? It's really true.
Oh, you bet it is, baby.
Oh, I did work hard at the club, but I never thought... Well, I never dreamed they'd recognize me this way.
I did.
Did you, Bill?
Ever since we met. I said to myself, this is a kid who's headed right for the top. Stardust all the way.
Oh, thanks, darling.
For what?
For saying to yourself. For saying. For being a good friend. For believing in me. And
for lending you my car to drive to work.
Oh, you.
Maybe you better run over the encore speech once more, huh?
Maybe I'd better.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're very kind. In appreciation, I'd next like to give my impression of Mr. Fred Astaire dancing Irving Berlin's memorable hit, Cheek to Cheek.
In any criminal investigation, the general public is of considerable aid to the law enforcement agency. Time and again, someone somewhere will provide the seemingly vague lead that will eventually break a case. Such a lead was given us when a woman reported a light-colored car that almost drove her off the road shortly after the accident. She had tried to memorize the license number, but all she could retain were the first four figures, 7Z71. We sent these figures to the Department of Motor Vehicles in Bay City. DMV returned 94 license numbers with names and addresses in the 7Z71 group. About half of these turned out to be Bay Area registrations, and we began matching them up with the lists already supplied by the local car dealers.
Come in.
Mr. Wade, you wanted to see me?
Yes, come in, Patty. Come right in.
Thank you.
There's your chair for our new star. You've met these gentlemen, haven't you?
Wade, for the love of Mike, we've met. We know each other. Let's talk business.
Sure, Ronnie, sure. I just want Patty to know she's among admirers of hers. Right, Patty?
I wouldn't know about that, Mr. Wade.
Mister? Oh, forget that mister stuff. We're all part of a team here. We want to know each other real
Patty,
quick.
Patty, what did you say to the FBI agent who dropped in on you yesterday?
FBI? Oh, you mean Mr. Stevens.
His name's Stevens, huh?
Oh, yes, he was awfully nice. You know, that's the first time I ever saw an FBI. In real life, I mean. Oh, I've seen lots of them in the movies, of course.
Yeah, sure, sure. I know what you mean. What did he want, Patty?
Mr. Stevens? Wait, if you're asking because you think I'm in some sort of trouble, I'm not.
Patty, we don't think you're in trouble, and we don't want to hear about the movies.
Honey, I'm talking to Miss Payton. Why don't you go pour yourself two fingers? Patty, dear.
Yes?
What did Mr. Stevens want?
Well, I don't know, really. Well, he didn't come to see me. He came to see Billy.
Billy?
Uh-huh. He's a friend of mine.
What did Mr. Stevens want from Billy?
What did he want?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he didn't want anything. He just asked some questions about Billy's car.
I see.
What kind of questions?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't listen, really. They seemed sort of general. He said he might call again. Why? Is something the matter, Wade?
Not yet, Patty, but there might be. There might be if your memory is too good.
I don't understand.
I'll put it bluntly,
Mitch,
Patty.
If Arnie opens his mouth again, you close it for him, will you? Patty.
Yes?
You're happy here at the club, aren't you?
Oh, yes, very happy.
And you don't mind me as your boss?
Mind you? Why, I think you're about the most wonderful person I ever knew.
And if I asked you never to mention anything about me or my friends here, no matter what, no matter who wanted to know, you'd do me that little favor, wouldn't you?
Oh, well, sure I would, Wade, of course.
Okay, Patty, that's all I wanted to know. You can go dress for rehearsal now.
All right.
Oh, and Patty, I caught your act last night.
You did? Well, was it all right?
It was great. And I want to show you my appreciation. There's a new car for you outside, one on the house.
Wow.
Wade! Well, you didn't have to go and do that.
I wanted to do it. Like I say, we're all part of a team here, Patty. All you have to do is keep remembering that.
Back to Specialty Act in just a moment. Friends, here's a modern, sensible way to satisfy that little hungry feeling you sometimes get between meals. Especially when you want to go light, chew a stick of refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. You see, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is never rich or filling. Yet it does satisfy your taste and give you that little pickup you want. Helps to tide you over until mealtime. It's one reason why Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum is the favorite between-meal treat of millions. Always keep a package of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum right with you. And when you get that little hungry feeling, but want to go light, chew a stick of this good-tasting gum. That's Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. Tonight's story on the FBI in Peace and War, Specialty Act.
After checking out all the licenses from the car dealers, 44 of the 46 not only matched, but proved where they were on the night in question. The remaining two lived in the Bay Area and had cars which had recently been repaired. One man was named Alfred McKay, the other William Berkeley. Having talked with both men, each was put on a round-the-clock surveillance.
Boss, this is the guy who wanted to see you, Mr. William Berkeley.
Well, this is a real pleasure. Come in and sit down. Midge, pull up a chair for Mr. Berkeley. Or Bill.
No chair, thanks. This isn't a social call.
Oh? I thought any friend of Patty Payton's was a friend of mine.
You thought wrong, and Patty's no friend of yours either. I just came here to tell you she wouldn't be appearing in your show tonight.
That right? Poor kid's sick or something, maybe?
No, she's not sick. She just happened to tell me how nice you were to her today. I didn't happen to tell her some of the things a certain Mr. Stevens told me.
I see.
Now look, smart guy.
Hold it, Mitch. What's on your mind, son?
Just this. Patty's leaving your club. I don't want her mixed up in anything.
Uh-huh. If I told you I was thinking of making her a top billing, that wouldn't change you, would it?
Well, you catch on, Mr. Wade.
Yeah, I'm quick. Well, in that case, I guess there's no use talking.
None at all.
Mitch.
Yeah.
It was good of Mr. Berkeley coming all the way over here. Why don't you and Jerry give him a lift back?
Glad to.
I've got my own car, thanks all the same.
Yeah, I know you got. Only thing, you got no company. These days, it's no good traveling alone, Mr. Berkeley. Mitch and Jerry will give you a lift.
What are we stopping here for? It's a good ways yet.
Jerry, hand me those nooks, huh?
What's this about?
You'll see, Bill. Now, these here, they're brass nooks. I wouldn't need them, understand, but bruised fingers tell tales like dents in a car. You know, it's bad to talk to Mr. Wade like you did, kid. It's real bad. It's real bad.
Payton, Patty Payton.
Yes?
You're next, Patty. 3 minutes. Okay, girls, let's look lively along here.
What's the matter, Patty? You look a bit nervous tonight.
I'm... all right.
Well, finish dressing, and the pay customers are waiting.
Honey, I'm surprised at you. You know how shy Miss Payton is. Only behind screens she'll finish dressing. Go ahead, Patty, dear. I'll hold off the wolf pack.
Well, I know I can trust you.
Nah, you're not sore at me, are you? Not over that little man-to-man chat Mitch here had with your boyfriend?
Of course she's not sore. Boyfriend said she wouldn't show, but girlfriend shows. How could she be sore?
You're right. Patty's too smart to hold a grudge. Besides, she knows what happened is only a sample. Don't you, dear?
Yes, I know.
Excuse me.
Nobody peek now. Let's show we got respect for privacy. Arnie.
Oh, for the love of Mike.
Arnie, one of these days. Say, Patty, you're doing Cheek to Cheek tonight. I like that number.
No, I'm doing something different tonight.
Yeah, as for instance.
Oh, you'll find out.
I will, huh?
You will, definitely. I'm going out there and tell them a little story about a louse named Mr. Benjamin Wade.
Why, you crummy, no good.
Mitch, hold it.
Listen to him, Mitch. That's good advice. On account of I'm going to tell them about you and Arnie, too.
What?
Boss, let me handle her, will you?
As soon as she's through, Mitch. Go on, Patty. What else will you tell them?
The works. About Bill's car and how somebody borrowed it while I was doing the show. Somebody named Wade. Or was it you, Mitch, or you, Arnie?
It was me, Patty. I barred it.
Go on. I'm enjoying this.
You won't. On account of because I'm going to tell about other things. Like the fight I heard with Hal Vinson in your office.
Shut up, you.
Let her talk, Mitch. Let her. Maybe you'd like to know why I had him rubbed out, Patty. Hal crossed me to the tune of near $500,000.
Listen, I've heard enough of this, Wade.
Yeah, for once, Arnie, I think maybe you're right. Mitch.
Yeah.
Why don't you take this movie-loving lady down to the basement and show her your specialty act?
Sure thing.
The full act, Mitch. The kind that'll convince her once and for all.
Right, boss. Okay, sweetheart, let's get going. That's the idea. Now just open up that door.
All right, Mr. Stevens, did you hear enough?
If we didn't, we'll hear the rest on the tape recording. Dave.
Okay, Steve.
Hey, what is this anyway?
FBI, Mitchell, stay where you are. You too, Sewell.
Wade.
Shut up, Arnie. Don't say a word.
Yeah, they're just bluffing.
Sure. We'll run a playback of the tape and you'll see how we're bluffing.
Patty, you dig
it. Easy, Mitchell, or I'll show you our little specialty. Steve.
Okay, Dave. Let's get them out of here.
Hey, Patty. What's keeping you? You're on, honey.
Pete.
Yeah, Mr. Wade.
Tell the customers Miss Peyton isn't dancing tonight.
What? But she's on. The MC's already announced her.
Dave, I think Miss Peyton can dance tonight, don't you?
Huh?
I think so, Steve.
Well, Mr. Stevens.
Go ahead, Miss Peyton. Didn't you hear what the man said? You're on. With the testimony of Patricia Peyton and your FBI and laboratory evidence to corroborate the testimony, a county grand jury speedily indicted Benjamin Wade and his associates on the charge of premeditated murder. Their subsequent trial and conviction with maximum penalties brought down the final curtain on more than one specialty act.
Remember, friends, to help keep your mouth feeling fresh and clean, chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum. There's lots of lively, refreshing flavor in it, and you can chew a stick just about any time at any place. Then, too, while you're sinking your teeth into this good-tasting gum, the natural chewing action is helping to keep your teeth clean and bright. Next time you're at the store, get some packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Get plenty for your whole family, because Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a perfect all-family treat. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Harold Huber played the part of Benjamin Wade. Rosemary Rice was Patricia Peyton. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Jack Anson Fink. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. And the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Courier, on the FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station. This is the CBS Radio Network.
The FBI and Peace and War on Tuned To Yesterday from February 23, 1955 on CBS. You're listening to an hour of crime from the files of the FBI on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. And now it's time for This Is Your FBI with the story The Corrupt City, broadcast on ABC on February 15, 1946.
The Equitable Life Assurance Society presents This Is Your FBI. This is your FBI, an official broadcast from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, presented as a public service by the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community. Tonight's FBI file, The Corrupt City.
Which of these two, standing before the Supreme Court of Public Opinion, would merit the severer judgment, the greater moral condemnation? The professional criminal whose business is violating the law for profit, or he who occupies a position of public trust and uses its power to protect the criminal for self-gain? It is eloquent testimony of the worthiness of a system of free elections that there is in America a minimum of corruption in public office. It is proof of the essential integrity of the overwhelming majority of those who seek office. Proof also of the conscientiousness of the people in selecting their public servants. And, as demonstrated in tonight's case from the files of your FBI, it is proof of the uncompromising devotion of America's law enforcement officers to their sacred duty to uphold the law against all transgressors, no matter who they may be. In a Midwestern city along the waterfront, midnight darkness and a light fog shroud the deserted docks and warehouses. A little while ago, a man standing in the deeper shadows behind a bale of cargo heard a large powerboat idle its motors and watched it drift in against the pier. Two of its crew clambered onto the pier, passed several heavy crates to those on board, and then...
How many more cases, Mike?
That's all of them.
Okay, get aboard and let's shove off.
The man in the shadows snaps on a flashlight and steps swiftly out along the pier.
Just a minute there.
Huh?
Stay where you are.
Who are you?
This badge will tell you who I am.
Oh. Cop, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Do you have authority to move those cases of cargo?
Sure. Why?
Because there's been quite a lot of cargo moved from piers lately without any authority. Hop aboard, Mike.
Wait a minute. I want to see your papers authorizing movement of those cases.
Mike, hop aboard.
Let me straighten this copper out first.
Well, go ahead, stupid. We're pulling out of here.
Stop that boat! Looks like you missed them, copper. So you'd better arrest me.
Did you want to see me, Chief?
Yes, come in, Donovan. Donovan?
Yes, sir?
If I were asked what I think of you and your work, I'd say you're one of the most promising young men on the force.
Oh, thank you, sir.
And the thing that really sold me on your earnestness about your work was last fall when you asked for a leave so you could attend the FBI's National Academy. And at your own expense, too. And that diploma you came back with, Well, I guess I was almost as proud of it as you were.
Thanks, Chief.
You have a great future ahead of you as a law enforcement officer. If you can stand the test of hard knocks.
Well,
they can come in a million forms. Sometimes they're hard enough to break a man's spirit completely, if it's not strong enough to take it.
Yes, sir.
Personally, I want to commend you, Donovan, for the arrest you made two nights ago at Pier 26.
Thank you, sir, but
I read your report. I think you're on the right track. And somehow that gang of river thieves has got to be broken up.
I bungled the job the other night by getting only one, but I'll get the rest of them, sir.
The man you arrested was released this morning.
I'll get... What did you say, sir?
Mike Haynes was released this morning.
Released? But...
And here is your first test in the school of hard knocks, Donovan. A statement from the councilman in charge of our appropriation. You may read it all later, but I'll read only the last paragraph.
Okay, sir.
Therefore, in view of the evidence furnished me by reliable authority, it is my conclusion that Detective Donovan acted wholly without cause and recklessly endangered the lives of the crew by unprovoked and unjustified use of his pistol.
What?
Therefore, I demand his transfer to another assignment, patrolling a beat, and his promotion canceled.
That's a pretty sordid story, Donovan.
Well, Mr. Craig, I didn't come here to the FBI office looking for sympathy.
You don't have to tell us that.
I don't blame the chief for not going to bat for me. His hands were tied. Apparently that goes for everybody on the force.
Yes, I know.
I don't know who the Mr. Big is who's running the show in this town. But, well, whoever he is, there's one set of hands he can't tie. The FBI.
That's right. But where's our angle in the case, Donovan? There has to be one or we can't touch it.
Well, those goods were part of an interstate shipment.
Where's your evidence?
Well, the river is the state line, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, the rest of the gang got away in the boat the other night, and they headed for the other side of the river.
But you don't know for sure that the boat went all the way.
No.
It could have turned and cut back to this side at a point farther up or downstream.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I guess I was just a little overeager to get you boys into the picture.
Well, we may get into it yet. But until there's a definite federal violation, I'd suggest you keep your eyes open for anything on Mike Haynes. Watch where he goes, who his pals are. Maybe you'll stumble onto something.
Yeah, something Mr. Big can't cover up.
Yeah. It might be pretty risky business for you.
I'll get on Haynes' trail starting tonight.
Busy, Sam?
No. Come on in.
Yeah, got me sprung, huh?
Yeah. I don't know why, though.
What do you mean?
That was a real stupid play, Mike.
What?
Playing the big shot for that copper. You acted like you had protection sticking out all over you.
Well, that's the deal, ain't it?
No, not for publication, sucker. They're still honest cops, you know.
Well, how was I to know?
The big guy didn't like it. Well, he sprung you this time, but from now on, take it easy.
Something's got to be done about that cop.
Why?
He's been tailing me ever since I was sprung. I go in for a beer, and he comes in for a beer. I go in the bowling alley, and he comes in. I go home, and he walks by the house.
Well, he hasn't tailed you across the river any time, has he?
How could he? That's out of bounds for him. Well, the guy's driving me crazy.
Maybe that's what he wants to do.
Huh?
Figures you'll get too jumpy sometime and make the wrong kind of move.
Not me, Sam.
We're not going to take a chance on that.
What do you mean?
You want to get that copper off your neck?
Sure.
And here's what you do. Tomorrow, as soon as you know...
Can I see you a minute, Mr. Craig?
Oh, come ahead, Donovan. Any evidence on a federal violation yet?
No, but I've got a pretty good idea how they operate now. They've got a legitimate front here in River City.
What kind?
It's a small river freight business. They don't do much. I watched it for 3 days.
But he gives them a front just the same.
Yeah, and license to operate any kind of boat they want to anywhere on the river.
Mm-hmm. Who's the company?
It's Sam West, an ex-rum runner, but I'm pretty sure he's not Mr. Big.
Where do they keep the stolen stuff?
Across the river.
You have proof?
Well, I can prove that they go across the river.
How do you know?
I watched them with glasses last night in the moonlight.
Oh?
It was clear, you see, and I could follow the boat all the way across to the pier line on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turned upstream, and I lost it in the shadows.
Were they carrying stolen merchandise?
Well, I couldn't swear that, but... Well, at least we know two facts now. They steal merchandise, and they operate across the river.
I'm going to send the Bureau headquarters a report on this, Donovan. But I'm afraid we can't move in yet.
Okay, but I'll make you a bet, Craig.
What's that?
Before I finish my war of nerves against Mike Haynes, you'll have something to move in on.
Well, don't stick your neck out too far. River City needs it.
What are you drinking, mister?
Well, maybe I'm not drinking.
That's about all you can do in here.
The sign outside says, bar and grill.
Okay. How'd you like some nice grilled salami on graham crackers? That's what we got left.
Thanks.
You looking for somebody?
Yeah, I thought I saw a fella come in here just ahead of me.
I guess I never seen him.
Uh-huh. You got a back door?
Yeah, it's out back.
Thanks again.
Looking for somebody, copper?
Yeah.
Mike Haynes?
That's right.
He's right behind you.
What?
He's right behind you. There you are, Mike. Now the guy don't bother you.
Every day and night, 24 hours around the clock, your law enforcement officers risk their lives to keep their covenant with you, to protect your lives and property, and to uphold the sanctity of your laws. And many of them risk their lives in keeping that faith. Nearly noon now, the second day after Officer Donovan walked into the trap set for him by Mike Haynes of the River Gang. Agent in charge Craig of the River City office of the FBI is sitting at his desk with Special Agent Tom Farrell.
I'll take it, Tom.
Okay.
Craig speaking. Oh, hello, Chief. What? Yeah, I was afraid of something like that.
Where?
Uh-huh. I see. Well, I guess that puts it up to us now, Chief. And we're moving in on the case right away. Thank you, sir. And we'll keep in touch with you. Right.
Trouble?
Yes, that young policeman, Donovan.
What about him?
A farmer on the other side of the river found him in a ravine this morning. 5 slugs in him, but he's still alive. He had to be kidnapped.
Okay, what's our first move?
Not much doubt about whose work it is.
Want to round up the gang now?
No. No, we've got to get the proof first. And we'd better start on that stolen goods angle. That might lead us to Mr. Big himself.
Mr. Big could be that councilman.
Why?
He made the chief break Donovan, didn't he?
Proving what?
Well, in his memo, he referred to evidence furnished by a certain reliable authority. But he could be that certain authority, you know.
Yes, it's possible.
The chief of police might be mixed up with him.
Oh, I doubt that. I'll bet my last cent the chief is honest. Chiefs of police are clean, Tom. They've got to be to get that far. Sometimes they've got to take a dirty order and like it, and ask no questions in order to do a bigger job.
Well, where do we start on this case?
Well, let's watch their boats first, and see if they'll lead us to a cache somewhere on the other side of the river.
Okay.
And then we'll figure out a way to get Mr. Big.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mr. Adams.
Come in, Sam.
You want to see me?
Yes.
Okay, what's on your mind?
That policeman.
Who are you talking about?
Donovan.
Oh. Okay, so he was getting too nosy, so we got rid of him.
Did I tell you to?
I take protection from you, Adams, not orders.
Really?
Now, what are you squawking about Donovan for? He might have found his way all the way up to you, you know.
I could have handled that.
Are you kidding? It goes to the papers, then, and you can't handle them. You may be the party boss, councilman, and run everything in this town, but you can't...
Shut up. Now listen to me.
Okay.
You know what you've done by kidnapping Donovan? Shooting him, dumping him across the state line?
What?
That's not a local police case. That belongs to the FBI.
Huh?
You heard me.
All right, but that ain't my worry. Protection's still your job, Adams.
You can't fix the FBI.
So, what are you going to do?
I'm going to give the orders from now on, or pull out. You and the boys lay low for a few days. No more jobs until I tell you. Understand?
Put a head on that for you, mister?
No, thanks. No, it goes better with the music when it's flat.
A comedian.
Tom?
Yeah?
Mike Haynes down the bar a ways.
Yeah. Wish we could take him in now.
Don't worry, we'll get him. Looks like he's about ready to shove off. I imagine he'll head for home.
Well, we've been watching them 3 days now. I haven't moved a boat.
Yeah, they must have gotten orders to lay off for a while.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's get back to the office and plan our next course of action.
What about Haynes?
Let him get home by himself. We've got more important work to do right now.
Sam.
Yeah?
I got a hot tip on something big, Sam.
Big like what?
Big like a big pile of dough.
Oh, the boss said to lay off.
Hey, he likes the cut he gets, don't he?
Well, sure, but...
Then he'll drop his teeth when he hears about this.
What do you got?
Big shipment of nylon.
No kidding.
Yeah, and at present prices, we ought to split $100,000.
Oh, where is it?
It's on Pier 42, waiting for us.
Well, let me get Adams on the phone.
No, leave him out of it. We'll do it now and tell him afterwards.
Suits me.
Nearly midnight on the river now, and a ferry boat crossing far upstream seems to be the only sign of life on the surface of the water. But 3 hours ago, shortly after dark, 4 small boats put out from the River City shore, deployed, and took up assigned positions. 3 are now hidden in the shadows at widely separated points along the pier line on the far side of the river. The 4th, on this side, is hidden among the pilings under Pier 42. A man speaks into a portable radio transmitter.
Hello? Hello? Agent in charge, Craig. Boat number 1, report, please. Over.
Boat number 2, reporting. Standing by.
Boat number 3, reporting. Standing by.
Boat number 4, reporting. Standing by.
I don't know how much longer we'll have to wait, men. Maybe the plan's not going to work at all, but we'll stick it out.
It's got to work, Craig.
Haynes fell for the tip anyway, I know. Agreed to cut me in.
Maybe Sam West or Mr. Big put the nicks on it.
Time will tell. And it looks like time's beginning to tell a sad story, so I guess we'd
Craig, listen. Motorboat.
Yeah.
Making this way, too.
Let's not give the boys a false alarm until we're sure it's the boat we're looking for.
That's it, all right. It's cutting in this way.
Yeah. Hello? Hello? Craig speaking. I think we're in. There's a boat heading in for this pier. Keep radio silence and stand by. Hello? Hello? Boat number 2, come in.
Boat number 2, reporting.
They've loaded and pulled away, headed across the river for your position.
Thank you. Boat number two reporting. They've turned upstream and headed your way, number three. Over.
Boat number three reporting. They've passed my position and continuing upstream toward your position, number four. Over.
They've had time to pass number four by now, Craig. What's happened, I wonder?
Maybe we'll hear something in a minute.
Don't want anything to go wrong now, just
hello.
When...
number four reporting. They've just put in under a warehouse 50 yards from my position.
Good.
What are your orders, Craig? Over.
Stand by, number four, until we all reach your position. Then we'll move in. Number two and three, let's go.
All right, boys. You can set those cases down right there. I'll put yours up on the table here, Mike.
Okay.
Break her open and let's see what we got.
Right.
Adams is going to be real sorry he passed this one up.
Yeah.
Well, this ought to be worth $100,000. That's all for us.
I wouldn't be too sure of that.
Huh?
Adams.
Tried to pull one without me, didn't you?
So?
You pulled this job against my orders. So from now on, we never heard of each other. Understand?
I hear you.
And if you don't clear out of this county and stay out, I'll have you slammed in jail so far it'll take you 40 years to walk to the front gate.
That's enough, Adams.
Put down that gun.
Oh, no.
I said put down that gun.
No dice. Nothing.
Drop that gun, West.
What?
We're special agents of the FBI. You're all under arrest.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Save it, Adams. You're in this, too.
Now, just a minute. I'd like to explain.
Explain it to the people of River City. The people who trusted you. They'll want to hear it all, I'm sure. Put the handcuffs on them, man.
Right.
And by the way, I think you all should know that Donovan is recovering rapidly and will be happy to testify at your trial.
The vicious political influence of John Adams and his accomplices was broken up by their trial and conviction in a federal court. They were sentenced to long terms in a penitentiary. The significance of tonight's case can be best illustrated by a quote from an article written by J. Edgar Hoover, director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, in this month's American magazine. In this article, Mr. Hoover stated,
"A great menace to successful law enforcement is the crooked politician or policeman who places the pork barrel above the welfare of society. These politicians either corrupt policemen or destroy their morale. I must say here and now that if we are to stem the rise of crime, we must take police and sheriffs, the first line of defense against terrorism, out of the hands of venal politicians. The police department must be placed, like so many municipal fire departments and school systems, in the control of a nonpartisan commission. It may be a hard job, particularly when a powerful political machine exists in a city, but it can be done if every decent citizen puts pressure on his local lawmakers."
Before we tell you about next week's thrilling case from the files of your FBI, a word about a man worth knowing. To your FBI, you look for national security, and to the Equitable Society for the financial security of life insurance. In the past 86 years, the Equitable Life Assurance Society has weathered 4 wars and 7 major depressions. During that time, over $5.5 billion have been paid to policyholders and beneficiaries. This tower of strength, security, and stability is represented in your community by a man whom hundreds of your fellow citizens know as their good friend, the Equitable Society representative, who, like your FBI, is dedicated to the protection of you, your home, and your country.
next week, we will bring you another colorful story from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, revealing for the first time the inside story of South American espionage, the Pan-American Patriots.
The incidents used in tonight's Equitable Life Assurance Society's broadcast are taken from the files of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The role of J. Edgar Hoover was impersonated. However, all other names used are fictitious, and any similarity thereof to the names of persons living or dead is accidental. Tonight, the music was under the direction of Frederick Steiner. The author was Frank Ferres, and your narrator was Dean Carlton. This is your FBI is a Jerry Devine production. Now, this is Carl Frank speaking for the Equitable Life Assurance Society of the United States and the Equitable Society's representative in your community, and inviting you to tune in again next week at this same time for This is Your FBI.
Friday nights, there are great programs on ABC. For a laughing good time, listen to The Alan Young Show with guest star Vera Vague, which follows next. This is the American Broadcasting Company.
This is Your FBI on Tuned to Yesterday from February 15th, 1946 on ABC. And with cases closed, that does it for this hour of crime on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.